Thank you, Rabbi Feder. Birshus, Marina Rabbeinu, Rav Weinberger. Birshus, my parents and my in-laws. Birshus, all the rabbanim, all my dear chaverim. I want to thank my wife, Maiza Kenegdo. And my kids, supposed to name each of them, but I'm not going to get it out tonight. I want to thank tonight's sponsors, my parents, and my Uncle Alan and Aunt Ray, Kalman and Jordana, my cousins. I want to thank Seth Sklar for getting a whole slew of other sponsors, Seth and Rebecca Sklar, Shmuley and Freddie Spergel, Kiba and Naomi Cohn, Fryman, Jessica Nudman, Richie and Suri Grossman, Charlie and Dina Harari, Eitan and Naomi Abgashoff, and Abe Topia, Leila Nishmas, his wife, Sarah Miriam, Dasa Yitzhak Halevi. Now tonight's theme is special. It's always special, but tonight is special for two reasons. One is how Rabbi Feder mentioned before, all the shiurim that I've been giving. Last year, Rav Weinberger recommended I cut it down a little bit and maybe finish once every 2 years. And I decided this year to include all the daf yomi shiurim that I've been giving in the shul, in the morning and the evening. So now that means everyone who learned together, we all learned this, all the chelak in this scene this year. The whole kehila. So I'd like to thank, starting with Rav Weinberger, the Hanhala, Ephraim, Akiba, Charlie and all the others who participated in the Hanhala here and the entire Kila for learning with me this past year to make this Siyam. And it's also special this year because I'm making it Lilo Nishmat, my grandmother. Rachel Basel Yao Pinchas. She was nifted this past summer, Shabbos Parshas Balak, Shivas HaBetamos. I spoke at her Levaya about the Chamor of Bilam and what a donkey represents. So my grandmother lived her life like the Chamor of, not of Bilam, but of Avram and Moshe and Mashiach. A Chamor, a donkey that symbolizes endurance and perseverance and determination. My grandmother lived by that. So I want to speak a little bit tonight. Each year I like to speak about the various aspects of Limudat Torah. A lot of my grandmother liked to discuss the element of a chamor, how a donkey is symbolic of a person who has a melis b'Torah. At the end of Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov gives a brachos to the Shvatim and he gives a brachos to Yisachar. Chamor garim rovets. He says Yisachar is like a donkey, a strong, big-boned donkey. Rovets bein amish besayim, that's crouching between the different borders. Bayar menucha kitov, and he saw that menucha, that rest was good. Besaretz ki na'ima, and that the land was pleasant. Vayetz shichmo lispal, and Yisachar, like a chamor, tilted his shoulder down to take on that all, that burden of learning. Vayhi lamas oved, and he was a servant to Limudat Torah. And the comparison to a chamor, Rashi explains, is as a chamor carries the old Torah, or the old rather of the packages, that's how Yisachar would carry the old of the Torah. That heavy load of learning. So Zohar asks, is a very strange animal to compare Yisachar, the sheva that represents Torah, that represents a kolel. Why Yisachar is compared to a chamor, very goofy looking animal? Why not a sus, a horse, a beautiful horse that runs in the wind with strength, or an ari, a lion with gevura, or an amer, a tiger with beautiful stripes. A chamor is a very strange, goofy-looking animal to compare Yisachar to. The shevet of Talmud Torah could be compared to a chamor. It's Am Hadom El Chamor. But Avram says to Eliezer, Shivu Lachem Parma Chamor, you stay back here with the donkey. And the Gemara tells us in Yevamos, Am Hadom al Chamor, that the nation, the Am of Avadim, is compared to a Chamor, not a compliment. And the Gemara Bava Basra tells us that chamor, when you call a person a chamor, it's an insult. It means you're a shote, someone who's incompetent. So Yisachar, the Bnei Torah, is referred to as a chamor, a shote that has no das. The Pasuk of Mishlei says, rather, the Pasuk of Yeshaya explains that Yad Ashur Koneu v'chamor Eves Balav, the shur knows who its owner is. But the owner of a chamor is its food. It's addicted to its food. That's the baal. The one that controls the chamor is the food. So this is an animal that is stuck in the world of taiva. And this is the animal that we choose to compare Yisachar to. So Rav Tzadok explains that, granted, that a chamor is an animal that is about action and maisa and taiva. Ein bo das, it's incompetent. It's a goofy-looking animal. But nonetheless, says Rav Tzadok, Vayeshel hargashis halev. There's a certain feeling, there's a certain passion that a chamor has, a passion for eating for him. But there's a passion, there's a pulse, there's something to work with. That passion is directed in the wrong direction for a chamor, but there's something to work with. There's a life source. The Ksav HaKabbalah explains that that's what the Pasuk Yisachar means. Yisachar, chamor garam, he took the chamor. Chamor represents taiva. He took his taiva and he broke it. Garam, he broke it. He broke it like he breaks a bone. Yisachar wasn't a person who grew up in a place like Bnei Brak where he wasn't exposed to any gashmias. Yisachar knew what it was like to be a chamor, to have a taiva, whether it be for money, for food, for a nice house, for a nice car. Yisachar knew what it was like to live where we live. And he took that chamor, he took that taiva, and he broke it. And says the Ksav HaKabbalah, even though he broke it, he didn't destroy it. The Pasuk says, Rovet Bein HaMishpasayim, he crouched between both worlds of Gashmis and Ruchnis. He broke the taiva, he channeled it to the proper way. A chamor starting off, we're all chamors, we're all people, humans, have a taiva to something, to eating, to money, to honor. But you just break that and channel it and you balance between the two worlds. You're Rovet Bein HaMishpasayim. You balance between the Gashmis and Ruchnis. There's a unique mitzvah when it comes to a chamor, the firstborn chamor, pidyon petach chamor. And the Torah tells us you have two options. When you have a firstborn donkey, you can either break its neck and kill it, or you can be poded onto a seh. Says the Noam Elimelech, in the chamor, there's this kedusha that's hidden within. There's a certain kedusha that's hidden within the chamor, and you have to just extract it, and you're poded onto the seh. You can either break the chamor and break the taiva and destroy it and you have nothing, or you can redeem it onto a seh and you'll have the seh, which represents the kedusha, the ruchnis, and you'll still have the chamor, which is still alive, which represents the gashmis. And your rovates bein ha-mishpachayim, you're balancing between both worlds of the chamor and the seh. And the Gemara asks, why dafka the chamor? Why specifically the chamor, the donkey, is the animal that's used for pidyon petach chamor? Of all the non-kosher animals, the chamor is the only animal that we have a pidyon petach chamor. We don't have it by a pig or a horse or a lion or a tiger, only by a chamor. So says Rav Tzadok, because Gemara Bechoros tells us that when we left Mitzrayim, each and every yid had 90 donkeys taking out the Rechush Gadol from Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram not only would we be redeemed from Mitzrayim, but we'd leave with a Rechush Gadol. Says Rav Tzadok that we took the Chamor that represented the world of Taiva, the world of Mitzrayim, the Am Hadom al-Chamor, and we took that passion and channeled it, redirected it to something positive, to use it for Rechush Gadol, to fulfill that promise to Avram Avinu. And that's why there are 90 of them, because it's a tzaddik. There's a tzaddik in each and every one of us, in each and every chamor, each and every person. There's that tzaddik. It's about redirecting that passion. That's the story of Purim and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day where we refrain from all the gashmias, and Purim is where we embrace all the gashmias, where we drink that wine, which is, in Aramaic is called chamra, lashon chamor, where we don't get rid of it, but we drink it and we embrace it and we elevate it to a higher level. Like they left Mitzrayim, they took the chamorim, they took the donkeys and elevated it to a higher level. They took that taiva, they took that passion and redirected it to a positive place. That's the story of Reish Lakish in the Gemara, who was a well-known, infamous ganav, who stole, but he was convinced to do tshuva by his brother-in-law, Rabbi Yochanan, and was able to take that passion, that gvura, and redirect it to something positive, the Limud HaTorah. That's what Yisachar is. Yisachar is that chamor. That's what every single person in this room is. That Yisachar, that we are raised in this world of Gashmis, and we break that Gashmis, we break that taiva, but we're able to redirect it and have that proper balance, robates, bein ha-mishpasayim, balancing between both these worlds. Now the Ksav Sofer writes to the end of the bracha, Vayar menucha ki tov v'sa'aretz ki na'ema v'yet shechmo lispo. He says that Yisachar, like I just explained, was not a person who didn't have a taste of this world. Yisachar is a person who tasted the chamor, he tasted this world. He tasted the gashmis. He knew that Vayar menucha ki tov. He knew that the menucha, it's enjoyable to rest. He knew that ha'aretz ki na'ema. He knows that this world, the land, is enjoyable. But mikol makom, nonetheless, Yisachar made the decision. Vayet shechmo lispel. He decided nonetheless, even though he tasted the tanugim of this world. He tasted what it meant to have a nice piece of steak. He tasted what honor is like, what gashmis is like. But yet still, vayet shechmo lispel, he still bent his shoulder down to lift up the old Torah. He wasn't living in a bubble. He knew what it was like to live in this world. He was roveitz bein ha-mishpasayim, was balancing between both the worlds of gashmis and Ruchnius, and knew what it meant to work weekends and to work extra time, but decided to vayet shechmo lispo. So Gemara Baba Basra tells us that a Talmid Chacham is exempt from certain taxes, parsonage. And who's a Talmid Chacham? Person shetarasan and munasan, the person's trade, his job, is to learn all day. Person learning in kolel. So the Rosh says, it doesn't mean a person learning in kolel only. The Rosh says, the beginning of Baal Basra, even a person who has a parnasa, but the chol shah shu panoi meisko, any moment where he's free of doing his job, mechazer al divrei Torah, velome divrei Torah, he chazes what he's learned, he learns at every free moment. That means he wakes up early in the morning before davening to learn. That means on the way to work on the train, he's learning. That means on the way home on the train, he's learning. That means after he does homework and eats dinner, he comes to the Beis Medrash to learn. That's also, says the Rosh, Terasu Munasa, that's also considered a Talmid Chacham. That's what a Chamor is. Yisachar is a Chamor. We're all a Chamor. We're all that passion within us. It's all about balancing between these two worlds in a healthy way. The story I just saw, Erev Shabbos, the small town called Lelov. Early 1800s, there was a young girl who was having a difficult childbirth. And to make matters worse, it was Yom Kippur. It was a very small town. And it was a very complicated situation. And there are no doctors around to help. And then suddenly a man on a wagon comes into the town on Yom Kippur. Rarely would a guest come to this small village. Let alone Yom Kippur, was he Jewish, was he not Jewish? And the Lelover Rebbe came out of Shul Yom Kippur to check on it was his daughter-in-law who was going through this difficult childbirth on Yom Kippur. He wanted to find out who this individual who came through the town was. Turns out it was a very famous doctor, Dr. Bernhard, who was a Jew. It wasn't religious. And apparently he had been invited to come to a nearby town to take care of a very wealthy nobleman who had passed away before the doctor got to him. So he decided to pass through this small town, and it was Yom Kippur. So the Rebbe came out to speak to him. And they went to the meeting, closed doors, and he came out with this big smile on his face. He took care of the woman and saved the mother and the child. And he went to the shul to daven. And from that point on, after that visit with the Rebbe, this Dr. Bernhard went on to become religious and became a well-known Rebbe, Reb Chaim David Pietrikov, with many, many followers. And the Hasidim wanted to know what happened in that meeting that convinced Dr. Bernhard to become a Rebbe, convinced him to become religious. So he said, the Rebbe told me that once Shaul and his attendants were looking for Shaul's father's lost donkeys. His donkeys got lost, the Pasuk in Shmuel tells us. So the attendant says to Shaul, let's ask Shmuel Hanavi. Let's ask Shmuel Hanavi, Darkeinu Asher Halachnu Aleha. Let's go ask Shmuel Hanavi the way that we went. You shouldn't be asking Shmuel Hanavi the way that we went, where we came from. You should be asking, where should we go? Where do you find these lost donkeys? So says the Rebbe, that the path that we need to go is where we came from. Look about every place where you went. It's not about denying where we came from, denying which high schools we went to, which sporting events we went to. That's all part who we are. That's Rovei Tzbinah Mishpasayim. That's who we are. It's about balancing between these two worlds and making the right decisions. So says the Rebbe, you came for a reason to this nobleman, this Polish nobleman who passed away, but you came there because you're meant to come to Lelo. And you came here not only to save my daughter-in-law and the grandchild, but you came here also to change your whole life and heal yourself. Everywhere where you go, there's a reason for it. And that opened up his eyes. And all of us are looking for these lost donkeys, our passion, where to direct this passion to. Where to find that passion, where to find that proper balance between Bein HaMishpasayim, between the world of the Ruchnius and the world of Gashmius. All of us here know what it means, Vayar Menucha Ki Tov, we know that Menucha is good. But we're willing to take that old Torah. So Hashem Yishbarach should help us all. We should have a year for Ruchnius and Gashmius, finding that proper balance, being Rovei Tzbinah Mishpasayim. Now, before I introduce Rav Weinberger, I'm going to make the same after Rav Weinberger speaks. I'm going to share a quick story, an introduction. This past summer, a good friend of mine was appointed to be an assistant rabbi in a place in New Jersey. He's not here tonight, he was supposed to come. And he had reached out to me for some advice about being an assistant rabbi. And I said to him, succinctly, I can't give you any advice on being an assistant rabbi. My position here is extremely unique. And I never explained why. So I'll explain through a story. There's a boy by the name of Binyamin who's learning in Panovich. And after a couple of years of learning, his parents said, now it's time for you to join the Israeli army. The rest of his friends weren't feeling that pressure. The parents let them learn for as long as they wanted. But Binyamin's parents made him learn, rather made him work and go to the Israeli army. So Binyamin went by himself with no friends to the army and received a letter. And the letter said, Dear Binyamin, I'm thinking about you. I hope you're okay. Your dear friend Shmuel. So he starts trying to think of his friend's name, Shmuel, who sent it to him. He has no friends named Shmuel. He's completely surprised as to who Shmuel who sent him this postcard. So he left the postcard in his pocket. And then when he had the next Shabbos off, he went back to yeshiva, and he was trying to pay attention to all of his friends that were coming up to him, welcoming back, and there's no Shmuel. So then the Rosh Yeshiva comes over, he says, Binyamin, I've been thinking about you. How's it been? Did you get my postcard? Then it clicked, or Shmuel Buzovsky called me my dear friend. It's the first time I met Rav Weinberger a few years ago in the office. Unwarranted, he treats me like a friend, which is the great humility of Rav Weinberger. I'm anything but his friend, I'm a Talmud of his, like any of you. But Rav Weinberger's great humility, he treats me like a dear friend. So with that, I'd like to ask Rav Weinberger to please.
A bunch of cars are parked illegally outside and are blocking the streets, especially a Jeep Liberty and then a Great Infinity that are right in front of the school. The police are going to show up any second and they're going to get towed away. So I would recommend that you move the car.
Okay. Parshas Rav Noble, other Rabbanim, dear families, Levins, the Schwartzes. My dear friend, Rabbi Yoni, Rabbi Levin, Rebbetzin Randy. The fact that we have this every year doesn't make it less monumental. It makes it more monumental. And like Rabbi Feder said before, my wife and I and all of us here in the Kehillah shake our heads in wonder at the gift that Hashem has sent us after all of these years that He sent us such a wonderful gift of Rabbi Yoni and Randy, of the Rabbi Levin and his Rebbetzin, and all of the excitement, the hischachus, and the warmth that they brought to the Kehillah. It's such a bracha for us. There's something very unnatural about a gathering of this type. It doesn't mean it's unnatural for Jews to celebrate the Siyum. That's the joy of our lives. But that there should be such an inyan year after year. And it's true that I had some rachmanas on Rav Yoni that he expressed to me that he didn't know if it was possible, all the different things going on, all the different shiurim. So I did suggest maybe dividing it up a little bit over a couple of years, not over 3 years, but maybe over 2 years. Take it easy a little bit. I'm glad and proud that he ignored what I said. The ikkar is not to praise. I think we all feel that naturally. I don't want to embarrass my friend. But the chiddush and what to learn from such a maimed, of what we should take from such a maimed. Eila told us shemayim v'aretz b'hibarim. Eila told us shemayim v'aretz b'hibarim. The Gemara says a menachis b'hibarim. That Hashem has brought created Olam Haba with the letter Yud, ki b'kah Hashem tzor elam. And this world is a world of the letter He. Behi baram is behe baram. And the Gemara compares this world to a porch, a balcony, a place that's open on the bottom. Anybody who just allows himself, who surrenders himself to the pull of gravity, the natural pull of life, will fall. This is a world of the letter He. And if maybe in the past there's a small letter He, it's a very big capital letter He. And just like the letter He that's open on the bottom. It's very, very easy to fall. And it means that everything about life in this world is that koach ha-mashicha that draws downward, that force of gravity, the force of chumrius that Rav Levin was talking about, the unredeemed donkey, the unredeemed force of chumrius, of chomer, of the letter hey, of Behebaram, of Behebaram. Now everybody here knows that it says in Zechariah, V'nasatilcha mahalchim ben ha'imdim ha'ela, that an angel, a malach, is the only creation that is able to maintain its status quo. A malach is an oimed. A malach is able to stand in a state of constant, of perpetual awe and fear and love, as we say in davening every day before Kriya Shema. That's the existence of a malach, of an angel. But the nature of a human being is that a human being is a mahalach. The human being, by definition, an Adam is the oisiyas ma'od, And the nature of human being is to want. And the nature of human being is to be driven and to be passionate. To constantly want and to move and to go. That's why the Gur explains in Mishlei, and it says in Pasuk, Arachayim Lamalu Lamaskil, which is a favorite Pasuk of the Gdolei HaMusar, to live a way of life that's Lamalu Lamaskil Amad Sur Misha'ol Mata, that one has to live an elevated life. It's not enough, especially now, it's not enough to be regular or normal. Regular or normal, perhaps at some point in the past, at some time, one was able to survive as an Erlich Yid, as a Jew, who shomer mitzvahs, by being regular or normal. However it was defined in whatever time or place. It says in Mishlei, Arachayim Lamalu Lamaskil, the one who understands what this world is, that it's that open letter hey, and you could slip out of this. You could slip out of Kedusha, you could slip out in an instant. Such a person knows that one has to live an elevated life, Lamalu Lamaski, Laman Sur Misha'ol Mata. And only when you live an elevated life are you able to avoid that open, scary abyss that's at the bottom of the hay, of a world without a floor, without a bottom. There's no bottom anymore to the world. Anytime, anything in the past, all of us are a little bit older here, know we thought that it was the bottom. There is no bottom. It's lower and lower and lower. So the Gur writes one sentence. Ha'odim nikra ha'ilech. A human being, by definition, as we learned, it says in Zechariah, a human being is a ha'ilech. He's a traveler. He's a mover. He goes. He can't sit still. It's the nature of a human being. Shetzarech leilech tamid midarge ladarge. A person wants to move from one level to another level. Vimloyala lamala. And if the direction of his movement is not upward, if he's not ascending in life, he can't remain stationary or still. Only in Malach can do such a thing. Im lo yala lamala yered mata mata. Chas v'sholom, the Gur says, he descends mata mata. He falls through the open hay. Ki I evsha sheyamud bedarga achas. The Goyin says, I evsha sheyamud bedarga achas. A human being cannot stay bedarga achas. B'zo oira chayim lamala lamaskil. That a masculine, intelligent Jew knows that he has to live a life that's lamala. He has to live a life of moving constantly upward. Ourselves and our families. Laman sur, the Pasuk says, Misha'ol Mata. Because that's the only way to avoid slipping into the emptiness below. Kedesh lo yata laredes lamata sha'oila, to the depths. Machmas ha'oira chayim, the Goyin says, but if you have an oira chayim, which is lamala lamaskil, then yosu misha'ol, then you're able to avoid that scary open space of this world, of olam hazeh, that bottomless open place of the letter hey. So the teretz is as follows. What's monumental about such a gathering, that Rabbi Levin is able to accomplish this and he lives such a life, the uvachein for us to see such a thing and to learn from this, and the schus of being in the daramis of such a person, is to know that the Rabbanu Shel Olam has another letter hey, or a special letter hey. Because it's not only Bihi Baram, the bottomless open space through which you could fall. But in this parasha also, there's another place where the hay is emphasized. What is that pasuk? Yom HaShishi. And there Rashi, of course, brings from Chazal that the letter hay is to tell us HaShishi, the sixth day. And that hay means Tetznai Hisna Kadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis, that the Rebbeinu Shlom has woven into the fabric of creation a way of ascending, a way of not only avoiding the empty space at the bottom of the hay, but of living elevated lives, of becoming people who are moving upward. And the only way that's possible is Yom HaShishi, which Rashi says is a hint for the sixth day of Sivan, which is the day of Kabbalah Satar. Because that's the secret. And that's what this Siyam is about. And the greatness of Rabbi Yoni and the family, and these two wonderful families, and the children that they're seeing, Baruch Hashem, and the Einiklach, is that it's not enough to krechs, to cry, to worry about where Olam Hazeh could lead us. It's a life of hard work, of grabbing onto the letter Hey of Yom HaShishi, because there's only one way to ascend. There's only one way not to fall sha'ol mata into that place. And that's by holding on to the sixth day of Sivan, the Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, which is Limud HaTorah, learning Torah. That's the only way. But it's not just a matter of gathering more information in one's head. And as intelligent as Rabbi Yoni is, he's not a computer, and it's not a matter of programming a computer. That's not what learning is about. When the Rambam writes in Yisurei Bia, when the Rambam writes about a person who's liboy ponui menachachma, you see, there's the intellect, there's the mind, and there's processing of Torah that takes place in the mind. But one can be very, very bright and know a lot. But as the Rambam writes, his heart can be ponui min hachochma. He can be lacking in the wisdom of the heart. Liboy ponui min hachochma. The Rambam should have said, moichoy, sichloy ponui min hachochma. The Rambam doesn't say moichoy v'sichloy. Even though in the context he's talking about, if you learn there, he's talking about seichel and chochma and learning. But an empty life can be even in a situation where a person knows a lot, but liboy is ponui min hachochma. He doesn't have wisdom of the heart. What a bracha to have wisdom of the mind together with wisdom of the heart. The kindness and the gentleness and the goodness, the edelkeit, the ehrlichkeit, and the ernstkeit. It's not a matter of just finishing some material. It's having a heart that's filled with wisdom as well. So since it's a minig by the Chassidim to tell the story of Tzaddikim on Motzei Shabbos, and Rabbi Yoni told the story of the Lulaver and the Tzaddik, Dr. Chaim David, so I'll remind the Chevra of a Maisa from Ramel Primishlanus Chusigilayim. It gets very cold in Russia in the winter, colder than here. And the Hasidim knew that their Rebbe, Rebbe Meir Primishlana, had a minig during the winter, all year round, but during the winter it was unbelievably difficult. That Rebbe Meir Primishlana would go to the lake and he cut out in the ice a place where he would tovel, as other tzaddikim did. He would tovel in the ice water during the winter in the Ukraine. We don't understand how these people could survive such a thing. But they became great. I heard once that there was a great Rebbetzin, my wife told me about what she heard from this Rebbetzin, who said that there were women during the war who didn't have a mikveh and they tovelled in the ice. The First World War and earlier, that they were tovelling during difficult times in the ice water. And from those tvilas in the ice, there were children that were born who were mekadesh Shem Hashem in the fire. Who were koiches of Kiddush Hashem. Now, there were a couple of maskilim in Primishlan I don't know who he was in Primerzon at the time, but there were a couple of maskilim there who did not believe what the chassidim said, that the Rebbe used to go tovel in the lake at the bottom of the mountain. Because not only was that ice, a sheet of ice, but there was no access to the lake unless you went down the mountain. And the mountain was covered with ice, and it's impossible to go down there during the winter. It's hard enough in the summer. But the chassidim are very simple, and they believe in the tzaddik, and they told this, they told these two maskilim that they believe b'emunah shleima, that at some point early in the morning, that the Rebbe does that. And the maskilim said, did you ever see the Rebbe go down? So they said, no, we didn't see, but we know that he does. And whatever, the way chassidim talk. You don't have to see, you know, you believe. So these two maskilim decided they're going to take a little class trip to prove that this is Nairishkeit, that it's impossible to go to the mikveh in such a way down in the ice water, in the ice, to go down that mountain. Or they're going to show that if the Rebbe could do it, so it's possible that it's not a nace. Because the chassidim were talking how Hashem carries him down, you know, all of these things. And the maskilim said, if you can go down, if he goes back in the water, so we can also go down the mountain. And they went the next day, and they both slid down, and they broke their bodies completely. They were completely broken from head to toe. And they were in whatever the equivalent was, a hospital in those days. They were in such a place. And the Rebbe, Rebbe Meir Primerzlana, went to visit them to see how they're feeling. These two maskilim, we went to see them in the hospital. And they're lying there, I guess, in full traction, if they had that back then. These two guys, these two skeptics, these maskilim. And the Rebbe came in with his gabbai, and he walked over to them to Ushlam Rufu Ushlam. And they said, Rebbe, okay, you have to explain how you do that. Because we're much younger than you, and we're in better shape, and it's not possible. So Meryl said, the key is this. When one is tied up above, when you're tied up above, so then you don't slip when you're down below. But if you're not tied up to the one above, then all of life is about slipping and falling. So we're here to give Hakaras HaTov, first of all, Zekila, to have in our midst a Jew who is tied up above to a family, to our families, the Kehila, and of the entire community, from Yeshiva and all the Chaverim, that this is our desire in life, to emulate this accomplishment. Each person on his level, and each man, each woman on her level, each one to set noble and good and healthy and holy goals in life. But to know that the truth is that unless we're tied up to the Torah, unless we're tied up above, we're going to slip down below. And therefore Hashem Yisbarach should help us that we should live lives that are lamala lamaskil, or chaim lamala lamaskil. We should live such lives. That we should be zayichim as Hashem that the next siyum, it could take 3 years if you like. That the next siyum as Hashem should be in Yerushalayim. That all of us should be able to be together, the family should be healthy and well, and all of us should be zayichim as Hashem to come out from this siyum with his chaskas, not just a little bit of his oirus and to be impressed, but that's not what everybody wants, that's not why he's making this siyum. He couldn't care less about such things. The whole tachlis is to be ma'orah the chevra, and we should all take out from this the gevaldig his service, and we should be zayicha lalo is lamala, and we should be zayicha mitzvah Hashem to come to the not the mountain of ice, but the mountain of fire, by the harabais. Amen.
Last few lines of Maseches Nida is a well-known piece of Gemara. Very quickly read through it. Tana de Beil Yo, Kal Shon Halachas B'chol Yom Muftach Lo, Shehu Ben Olam Haba. A person who learns Halach every single day is guaranteed into Olam Haba. Shenemar Halichos Olam Lo, Atik B'Halichos El Halachos. Hadron Halach, Tinokos Shlik Olam Maseches Nida. Hadron Halach Maseches Nida V'Sabon Bavli, Hadron Halach Halon, Daita Halach Maseches Nida V'Sabon Bavli, V'Daita Halon, Lo Nisishem Menach Maseches Nida V'Sabon Bavli, Lo Sishem Menon, Lo Ba'am Adein, Lo Ba'am Adasi. Hadron Halach Maseches Nida V'Sabon Bavli, Hanina by Papa, Ami by Papa, Nakhon by Papa, Achim by Papa, Abba Mary by Papa, Rafa by Papa, Rafa by Papa, Surah by Papa, Adi by Papa, Nor by Papa, Harev Nadin, Alina, the race of Saraska, the Fino, Pius and Pabezel, Pina, Nakhon, Sisan, Sisan, Sam Pabezel, Plenty of the Chimakal, and Deso Sekhel, Shma, Moray by Sikh, Menu, Miss Sosaka, Kili, Om Hili, Yili, Bisamim, Bukhukhel, Man, Lo Evo, Shvilam, Leshkak, Bukhukhel, Kivam, He, Sunning, Baruchata, the Nailam, Denu, Kukhel, Amen, 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 Selva Ed. Kishem, she says, Tani Lassai, Masakas, Nidav Sam Babli, Kain, Tazrin Haskil, Masakas, Swarm, Achim, Lassai, Lumod, Ulama, Lishma, Lassos, Lakaimas, Kodavi, Samutar, Zaka, Beava, Zahus, Katanam, Amaram, Samide, Hakam, Yamoli, Lazari, Shalos, Samash, Hatam, Pi, Mithi, Zari, Vizari, Zari, Adalam, Visis, Kain, Bibis, Aleka, Nan, Tanka, Osak, Vishak, Patishma, Lecha, Akitosa, Hisi, Haki, Vibu, Yamaka, Yosiv, the Hoshanas, Haim, Oriakimim, Bimina, Bismola, Osha, the Havada, Adonai, Oza, Maritain, Adonai, Varek, and Mother.
Yeah. big as anything that. He's doing all day. Last year he pounded that this year. Last year he pounded that this year.